me tell you about it. And I'll wrap this up shortly, but in any event, this is, I guess I have to wrap it up now, but this is there was an appellate division denial of an application for unemployment. And the plaintiff in that case was employed as a registered nurse prior to starting her last position. And then she suffered from permanent chronic neck and lower back and left knee pain that made it difficult to do her job. However, she did not disclose her condition to her employer, nor did she request less strenuous duties. But so she left work for a new employer. However, she was terminated 7 weeks later. Well, I'll go into this another time, but what that means is then since she was terminated 7 weeks, the unemployment goes back to look where she worked. And as I believe, and I don't have time to go into this, but I've had this happen, they go back to look where she worked a year ago, and that's how they established. And so the appellate division said that the plaintiff was statutorily required to notify her employment of any medical conditions aggravating her situation, and so that she couldn't just go and find new employment and blah, blah, blah. This is a New Jersey Supreme Court case, so it really is significant. It's significant for anyone who's leaving one position to realize that they might not go to the new position and then just be able to get unemployment if that doesn't work out. So talking about working out, we'll be working out with talking about the Super Bowl and other sports things as soon as we hear the news and my two fellow sports guys get here. So until next week, I'm Pat Smiths, the program It's the Law, and if anyone has any recommendations of issues that they'd like to hear about or guests that they'd like to have on my program, I am certainly open to suggestions and realize that what we want to do here is make our programs the best possible. So have a good weekend. For all of you who are watching the Super Bowl, as I will, although I'm not a fan, I guess this time I'm absolutely going to have to root for the Eagles. So take care until next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
So I sent it over to Congress. They will do what they're going to do. Whatever they do is fine. It was declassified. And let's see what happens. But a lot of people should be ashamed.
President Donald Trump earlier today at the White House. Now, the president was, of course, referring to the House Intelligence Committee, which released that controversial memo and the alleged abuse of secret surveillance by the FBI and Justice Department in the Trump-Russia investigation. Republican Congressman Ron DeSantis shares his thoughts on the memo.
This whole Russia stuff was, I think, much more wishful thinking on the part of FBI agents like Peter Strzok, who didn't like Trump, the anti-Trump media, who obviously didn't like him, and of course the Democrats who were running a campaign against him.
Not so good news today on Wall Street, as the Dow Jones Industrial Average is in a free fall. Currently, the Dow is down over 600 points today. This is USA Radio News.
If you're a CPAP user, soap and water cleaning may leave harmful bacteria, viruses, and mold that can make you sick. That alone will keep you up at night. Until now, SoClean.com is the world's first and only automated hands-free CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. SoClean kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs without soap, water, harsh chemicals, or even equipment disassembly. And now, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 800-768-0158.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean's revolutionary design makes it easy to clean your CPAP and protect you against CPAP-related illnesses. Plus, SoClean works with all popular CPAP devices to clean them in minutes. It really is that easy. Don't risk your health. Call SoClean.com now to try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 800-768-0158. This offer won't last. Call now. 800-768-0158. 800-768-0158.
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention reports 48 states are now reporting widespread flu activity. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has the details.
Dr. Dan Jernigan of the CDC reports, tragically, 16 more children have died from the flu, for a total of 53 young lives lost since the outbreak began.
48 states are still reporting widespread activity. Oregon is the one state that is reporting less influenza activity across the state, and we hope it represents a trend we're seeing of decreasing activity in the West.
I'm John Clemens.
With the Super Bowl just days away, Minneapolis fans and residents are seeing a heightened security presence. Secretary of Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen spoke to reporters yesterday about why the Super Bowl is an appealing target for terrorists.
It's obviously due to its size, its scope. It is and can be an attractive target. We don't have any credible or specific threat intel, but we will continue to actively monitor channels with our international partners.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root with a confession to make. I wear my Blue Blocker sunglasses everywhere. How good are Blue Blockers? First, America's astronauts using the same formula wore them in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million! Blue Blockers provide the best eye protection you can own. And you can't even break the lens with a hammer. So call toll-free and order one pair for $29.95 or two pairs for $39.95 plus postage. Just call toll-free 800-722-7777. That's 800-722-7777. 800-722-7777.
A list of the nation's most hated companies is out, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has a look at the worst of the worst.
Using information gained from worker reviews, surveys, and major news stories of the past year, the financial news site 24/7 Wall Street has compiled this list of the most hated companies in America. Number one on it this time around is Equifax, because of the big data breach last summer that put over 145 million Americans at risk for identity theft, and the company then kept the information to itself for over a month before letting the public know. Rounding out the top five, the Fox Entertainment Group, the NFL, University of Phoenix, and Electronic Arts. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Actor John Ratzenberger, best known for playing Cliff Clavin on the hit TV series Cheers, is a big fan of President Donald Trump. He joined Fox Business to talk about why maybe Hollywood should stay out of politics.
Well, yeah, I think they're eliminating half of their audience, insulting half their audience. Why would you do that? Go figure. It's not for me to make them change their lives. It's just a head scratcher for me. I don't know.
And today on this date, back in 1877, the first official Groundhog's Day happened at Gobbler's Knob in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Worth noting today, Punxsutawney Phil did see his shadow. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners.
Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our restaurant showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
Once again, it is time for the Mike Hewitt Show, brought to you by RenegadeRiver.com. Hey, we are all back in the studio where it's kind of cozy and warm. The microphones are working and...
Well, sorry guys, we were not sure exactly what happened there, but obviously you were hearing things about something that went on last November, and I think I had a runaway computer here. But in any event, this is the sports guys, but let me just bring you up to date what's going to happen on the weather. We did hear, and we're hearing, hazardous conditions, but it certainly doesn't seem like it's going to be hazardous. We did have some snow and ice last night, but all the roads, all the main roads were clear, and really, although there was more snow in the northern part of Hunterdon County, it certainly didn't appear to me, and I've been a few places today, that it's anything to worry about. So what about tonight? Mostly clear tonight. It's going to be low, very cold, around 10 degrees. By tomorrow, it should warm up, high of about 31 degrees, but sunny. And not much wind, calm in the morning, still not a lot of wind. By tomorrow night, it's going to be mostly cloudy, and then there's a slight chance of snow because it will be down to about 24 degrees. By Sunday, it's going to be a mixture. We're expecting a mixture of rain and snow, about 80% chance. And because of the temperature, expecting a high of about 39 degrees, that really could be a mess, especially by Sunday night, because it's a prediction of rain, and then a rain and snow is likely 80% starting out about earlier, 80% rain, then into snow, low of about 29 degrees. So could be a real mess on Sunday night and into Monday morning. So be careful, folks, those of you who are going to be watching the Super Bowl, and this is, of course, the sports guys, so we'll be watching the Super Bowl. And, you know, if you're driving out there and you're going somewhere else to watch the Super Bowl, you know, make sure you have a designated driver, because we also have some friendly police officers who will be looking, and they really will be out on Sunday night after that game. So nobody wants a DUI, and if you've ever talked to somebody who's had one, believe me, it's not worth it. It's incredibly expensive, and not only that, you're jeopardizing yourself and anyone else who's with you and anyone on the road. So that's my little commercial, because we all want to enjoy the Super Bowl. Nobody says you can't drink. It's just if you're driving, make sure there's somebody else. Or, you know, there is now Uber so that people can leave their car, take a taxi, take Uber, take one of these other services to get home, and, you know, somehow you'll get your car the next day. So that, oh, by the way, I wanted to mention, of course, that if you're lucky enough to have tickets to Minneapolis, you're probably out there already. But if you're not, be sure you pack extra warm clothes, layers. My suggestion is to take a ski mask because that way you can cover your face. Even though you'll be inside a dome for the game, the prediction is minus 20 degrees outside in Minneapolis. They may be getting more snow, but if they get snow, actually, it's usually warmer. But this is going to be some bitter cold, and if there's any wind, it really is treacherous. So you can't be inside all the time, because I don't know of any way that you don't have to walk outside, at least for a brief period, in order to get in a cab or get in a car, and perhaps even wait. Now, what I'm assuming they will do is they will, and I have not been at the stadium, so I'm not sure how much room they have, but it's a new stadium. So what they should do is allow people in early, and probably even allow them to go to their seats early, very early. There's no reason why they shouldn't. When we were at the playoff game with, this was a few years ago at Lambeau, for all you sports guys and all of you Eagles fans, not Eagles, excuse me, this year the Eagles fans would be, this year we're all, at least I hope we're rooting for the Eagles. But in any event, that was the game, playoff game between the Packers and the Giants, and it was 13 below zero. So the problem is the stadium in Green Bay is open, so it didn't help to let people go sit in their seats. In fact, nobody wanted to go sit in the seats because the seats at Lambeau are metal bleachers. So believe me, you know, it's not a place where you're going to get warmed up. So what they did do, however, is they allowed people to come into the huge atrium. And everybody was able to stand in the atrium, so they didn't have people standing outside freezing waiting to get in. That was great, except that because of the thousands of people that were in the atrium, everybody started to get warm. You started to kind of unzip your clothes. Maybe you didn't put your foot warmers in. And, of course, it's easy to put hand warmers in, but believe me, when you get into a game where it's 13 below zero, not wind chill, but actual temperature, and you sit there for a few minutes, it is almost impossible to then put your feet or your foot warmers in. And of course, you need foot warmers. That's just absolute when you sit outside in cold. You just invest in foot warmers. But you have to be sure to put them in because by the first half, we did not put them in, and we were freezing. We thought we were going to die, as a matter of fact. And then try to put foot warmers in when, you know, when it's 13 below zero and you're sitting outside and somehow trying to get these foot warmers in. But in any event, I hope all the Eagle fans who go to the game are going to have a great game. You know, let's hope that the Eagles win their first Super Bowl. And I was hoping to have a couple guests here, and I'm sure that, at least I hope, you know, Bill and John will be here. But in any event, I was also hoping to have another diehard Eagles fan with me today. And so far, I'm it. I'm Pat Smits, and I'm one of the sports guys, but I am not the Eagles fan. And frankly, you know, I know not much about the Eagles. Of course, those of us who were, you know, hoping for an Eagles victory, we were really disheartened when Wentz was hurt and was out. Not sure that Foles would be able to come in as quarterback and take over. He did a great job against Minnesota. You know, if you watch that game, you know that Minnesota went down the first, I think that was their first, yep. And they scored a touchdown, and everybody was going, uh-oh. And yet the Eagles came back and just played a terrific game, really did. Now, unfortunately, we've seen games before where the Patriots were down, including last year's Super Bowl, where they were down by, what was it, 21 points, and could have been 27, but I know they were down by, I think, three touchdowns, and they just roared back and, of course, went on to win the Super Bowl. And they have done this over and over and over again. The feud between Belichick and Brady, meaning Belichick, of course, is a coach, Brady is a quarterback, that has not seemed to dampen their efforts at all. Belichick always has a good game strategy, and somehow, you know, frankly, I know everybody will say that Tom Brady's the best quarterback because he's won all of the Super Bowls and he's been to all of the Super Bowls, and you know, I still think that Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Brady. Hasn't had the team around him, and frankly, I don't think the and that may be my bias because I'm a loyal, diehard Packer fan, but I'm not a fan of McCarthy. I think that he's been lucky. He's had some real talent, especially Rodgers. I mean, to go from quarterback Favre to quarterback Rodgers, I mean, what luck. I mean, I guess you can go back and look at some other teams. I haven't really thought about it, but look at some other teams that had that succession that successfully, but unfortunately they have not put enough really superb players around Rodgers. And there were a few years that Favre had some really great guys. I mean, Donald Driver, you know, anyway. So that's been, I think that's been a real problem in Green Bay. They got rid of Ted Thompson this year. They're getting, they got rid of their defensive coordinator, which, you know, he's been there a long time. I really like him. I'm not so sure that that was for the best. I guess we can find out. But somehow McCarthy, you know, manages to slide by every year. Let's hope that they have a much better year next year. And, of course, one reason I'm so glad that the Minnesota did not get to go to the Super Bowl, not just because that was the game that they were playing against Rodgers, of course, when Rodgers was hurt early in the season, but, you know, there's some rivalry between Green Bay and Minnesota, possibly comparable to Eagles and Cowboys, but in any event, you know, never want the Minnesota to win. Would much prefer if they have to lose to another team in their division that it be to the Bears. Not that I'd like it, but at least Bears-Packers rivalry goes back, you know, one of the earliest, if not the earliest rivalry. And, you know, I think the teams always respected one another. And up until, I think this year, the Packers, over all of those years, I think the Packers have now won one more game than the Bears. So what we've had in that rivalry are years where the Packers are not good and the Bears win all the games, and then other years where the Packers win all the games. So in any event, you know, we have Gronkowski is healthy again. They're saying he's going to be playing. You know, he went out at the last game, and I think people were concerned when he went out. He was injured, and they were concerned that that would make a difference and the Patriots might lose. No such luck. They're back. And one of the interesting questions, of course, will be What happens if they win this time? Will Brady finally hang it up, 40 years old? But, you know, we've heard that he wants to play until he's 45. And so that should be an interesting situation if, in fact, I don't know what their plans are, but it certainly sounds like Belichick and Brady are not as on the same viewpoint as they had been over all the other years. So let me let you hear from our sponsors, and hopefully we'll have somebody back who's going to really know how to analyze the teams, Patriots and Eagles, as they go into Sunday for the Super Bowl.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good afternoon.
Hey, guys, we're back, the sports guys, and guess who just...
The first ring just appeared, Pat.
That's right. And I believe me, since one of the first stringers is an Eagles fan, I am really pleased, and I'm more pleased that the other first stringer is not a Patriots fan.
Well, I'm from Boston, though, so I know my daughter is going to be there wearing her number 12 Tom Brady jersey at whatever bar she's going to be at in Boston, and probably be the same place she was last year for that Super Bowl, which, by the way, the Patriots won again, and they're looking to have a repeat performance. But, Bill, you know, all I'm hearing out of this Philadelphia camp is that they are quietly but supremely confident, especially on defense.
Well, that's an interesting thing that you say. Let's first talk about putting away some of the magical thinking that we're hearing. As you know, the
wishful, you mean wishful thinking? How do you mean magical? Wishful?
I call it magical thinking.
Okay.
You can call it wishful thinking. Remember, the Patriots started this dynasty in 2004 by defeating the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Well, actually 2001 by defeating the Rams, but go ahead.
Okay, and the fates would have it with symmetry in the cosmic universe that only the Maharishi or or Mr. Natural.
The Guru Maharishi is right in the house.
I call him Mr. Natural.
Okay.
Would occupy and say that 2018 is the year the evil empire finally cracks. And if you want to consider the cosmic metaphors some more, remember Nick Foles was an Eagle castoff who, like the prodigal son, returns to the Eagles after many years of wandering in the
proverbial football desert.
The Sinai Desert of the Los Angeles, the St. Louis Rams, or whatever they were called, and almost quits football and then comes back. And
we've seen this before. See, Jim Plunkett.
Right.
Well,
see, Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner. Was Kurt Warner the one who was
Kurt
stocking
Warner was
shelves?
Stacking boxes in the back room of a grocery store, right?
Yeah. So let's
and
put
Drew
that,
Brees, what there was something about Drew.
Yeah, because they thought he was too short and he wasn't going to make it. So you're right. But go ahead, Bill.
Exactly.
Your point.
So let's put all that magical thinking aside or wishful thinking aside, and let's talk football. First of all, nobody throws a more beautiful pass than Tom Brady.
I don't agree.
Well, you might not, but that's okay.
She might think there's one more pass that's more attractive, but go ahead.
Especially when he does a Hail Mary.
Okay. However,
oh, boy, Pat, that was, oh, my God. That she, my good friend is just absolutely, my ribs are killing me. That was such a shot to the ribs to even mention those words, Hail Mary, when we're outside of church, is enough to really make me cringe. But, Pat, touche. The only thing I can say in response is Brett Favre overtime interception and Super Bowl Giants. But go ahead.
And what we should also say, and I know,
let
me finish. You know, it was 13 below. I talked about that game a little bit. That was 13 below, not wind chill, chill. Minnesota is going to be 20 below wind chill, and I'm telling everybody, you know, inside the stadium it's a dome, but they have to be very careful.
Won't be 72 degrees in there. My guess is it'll be in the mid 60s there. But still, fun.
But the point is,
in fact, it might even be better.
All the Eagle fans who are going out to Minnesota, you know, dress as, you know, you can't believe how cold it is going to be. And you got to go outside at some point.
Pat, are you implying that Eagle fans are even more inept than I thought? They have to be told how to dress?
Well, actually,
going to Minnesota in February.
You're not interrupted until I get one more in on the Giant fans that were at that playoff game. I can't tell you how many really got frostbitten. And, you know, because they didn't realize that day they had also snow all over the bleachers. And so they just shoved the snow off, and then these people sat down without realizing that you just can't sit.
So all the Packer fans filing out of a lost playoff game were snickering at the frostbite Giant fans.
All right, Bill, pick it up.
We digress. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, there were probably more frozen butts coming out of that game than you would
frozen
ever find.
Giants.
Careful how you finish that.
A&B, Piggly Wiggly, and anywhere else.
Frozen Giant butts.
Yeah, okay.
Touché, right. Pat.
Right, the kind that go for $2.99 a pound at the Piggly Wiggly.
Well, you guys keep going because I think what I want to know, though, is if anybody knows the statistic of how many pounds of chicken wings will be sold for Super Bowl. I honestly don't know it.
But you mean at the Super Bowl the country?
Across the country for Super Bowl.
How many pounds?
Pounds. I mean, thousands.
I was going to say perhaps a couple of million pounds.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it'll be.
I don't even like them.
Well, I don't care. You know, and then you can go to Metropolitan Seafood. See, I'm giving you a plug.
They have
a great hot crab dip at Metropolitan Seafood for all of you folks.
Well, who knows about that? But I will tell you that when you want to compare line play, which is my favorite part of any football game, I think the Eagles have a real advantage over New England.
Hey, how are you?
That having been said, you have Tom Brady, who is probably going to play the game of his life. I think we're going to see a tremendous amount of pressure put on Brady by the Eagles' front four, including Fletcher Cox, which means that he's going to be forced to throw quickly to his ends, tight ends and wide receivers. There are going to be a lot of screen passes. The Eagles, I believe, will be prepared for this, and instead of blitzing, will simply keep these guys in coverage and try not to miss too many tackles. So what the Eagles will be doing is covering these people as tightly as they can on either side and trying to keep Brady into the game that he's probably the most skilled at with the Patriots, which is the short passes and the dink and dunk 3 and 4 yard gains and hope they break a tackle and can get some long gains like 20 or 25 yard gains on some of these screens. The Patriots running game has not looked strong in the last game against Tampa. Remember, the Patriots seem to win and die by the pass. The running game is not the equal, I think, of the equal Eagles running game. Plus, the Eagles have some interesting weapons to deploy on offense. Certainly, Foles is good at the short pass. Foles is good at getting the ball to his backs and also to his tight ends. Blount and Nelson Aguilar are going to see an awful lot of touches. Whether they will be handoffs or passes, I don't know. It's going to come down to, I think, the people that on the teams who make the fewest mistakes and whether the offensive line can give Foles enough time to play and find receivers. Foles does not make great looks.
Well, he doesn't make, from what I've seen, he also doesn't throw long passes.
No, but every now and then he'll air one out, as he did in the Minnesota game,
right,
and as he did in the Atlanta game. And New England will not forget about that. But if they're looking for a short pass and looking for the reverse of their own dink-and-dunk style of short passes, I think Foles is going to take some risks. He's got a good receiver in Ertz. He's got another good receiver in Nelson Aguilar, who's actually finally learned that he does have hands that can catch a football. And he has a number of other people who are targets. Brett Celek, everybody has forgotten about, but he's a good tight end. He blocks well. He also is an excellent receiver. And you have Alshon Jeffries, who has put some vertical leap into the Eagles' game. So I think that what we're going to see is we're going to see the Eagles actually try to open it up and find out just how good the New England Patriots defensive secondary really is.
Well, John, what do you think the impact of Gronkowski coming back? They say he's going to play. You know, it didn't really seem as if they lost much last week when he went out.
Well, I mean, you can't replace the guy who's not only the best tight end in football, but probably one of the two or three best of all time. The sheer size and speed just defies logic. It's really incredible. And he's a guy who has come back from knee injuries, concussions.
Right.
Just amazing. In fact, it won't surprise me at all if they win this Super Bowl if he just retires, because, I mean, I don't know how much longer the guy can take it. But having said that, he adds another dimension to the game. You're right. They were able, even after he left the game against Jacksonville, to continue to keep that offense rolling. And that's just a tribute to Brady and his resourcefulness. But I think, you know, more to Bill's point about on the Eagles' offensive side of the ball, the goal they have is possession, time of possession. If they want to hold the ball for 40 to 42 minutes in this game, and
if they can do
that and keep Brady on the sideline, they have a shot. Actually, I think if they could even get 36 to 38 minutes of possession, that would be enough. Certainly 40 would be unbelievable. But again, I also agree with Bill. The line play is very strong on both sides of the ball, and clearly Philadelphia has an advantage on both sides. The Patriots, we will no doubt try to confuse Foles with new looks. But Foles is a pretty intelligent guy, not the most gifted athletically, but will try to overcome that. And with the power run game, I think the Eagles should fare well offensively. The passing game, you're right, the Eagles receivers seem to step up this year. They became possession receivers. I think they were at the top of the league in converting third down plays. They just did a very good job of that, and no doubt will need to continue to do that in the Super Bowl to keep the ball out of Brady's hands.
Well,
on the defensive side of the ball, just to address one final point you made, Bill, on the defensive side of the ball, where Brady kills you is the short passing game.
Right.
The linebackers are very active for the Eagles. I think the Patriots are less concerned about the pass rush because Brady gets rid of the ball so fast. They are less concerned about the pass rush than they are the active linebackers bottling up those short pass receivers, backs coming out of the backfield, slot receivers. They live off of that, the slot receiver. They've been doing that for 10, 15 years. So everybody, it's one of those games, I think, and it's reminiscent of what the Packers used to do. The Packers would take the field. You knew what they were going to do. They almost told you what they were going to do, and they basically said, just try to stop us.
Right.
And I think with the Patriots, everybody knows what they do. They do throw in a little innovation, but basically it's that short passing game, and what they're going to say is, look, try to take it away. Try to stop it. You know, if you can, fine. We'll either continue with it, or we'll go deep, or we'll try to run it, or we'll do something else. But the biggest mistake you can make on Brady is just to bull rush and think you're going to get to him and leave those receivers one-on-one with linebackers, because you're going to lose with that. So I think the Eagles need to play an active defense where they're going to get pressure, but they're going to have to stay on those receivers, because that 5 to 8, 10, 12-yard pass is what they live off of. I mean, Brady has made a career on that, and that's going to be tough to defend.
That's pretty much what I said, John. Yeah. And you'll notice that in the Minnesota game, there was a tremendous amount of attention paid to the Minnesota tight ends and running backs by the Eagles. They were willing to give up the occasional long ball because –
Bill, you really can't go there. You can't go there, Bill. Yeah. You're talking Case Keenum versus Tom Brady.
Right.
You can't go there.
No question about it, but you know, you adjust your game plan to your players. And the interesting thing is Brady has the vision to see that tight, maybe 1 or 2 second, 5 foot opening in a short passing game situation, even over the middle, where Foles has yet to demonstrate that ability.
Well, his receivers don't I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but most of the Eagles passing all year has been on the outside.
That's
they have
right.
not gone over the middle a lot. They don't have receivers that really go over the middle well. They don't make the quick break. You know, a guy like Jeffrey, I mean, he's a big, tall guy, and the back shoulder pass works well with him. Over the middle, I think that'll be a tougher place to make a living for
but
Nick.
But remember,
Foles.
Well, you know, Zach Ertz has begun to make a difference in those plays, because Ertz has been coached a little bit differently last year and this year than he was in the Chip Kelly era. Ertz was not
wasn't
used.
Everyone
the Babylonian captivity.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but Ertz has come along. He's now 28. He's a more experienced guy.
He's right in the prime of his career.
He has been used in the middle, in those short 5 to 8 yard pickups.
Yeah, he would be the target. I agree.
And he's getting targeted by Foles more and more, and there's been more confidence there. The real question is going to be just how good are the New England Patriot linebackers? And
you know
they plan for Ertz and Celek suddenly becoming the prime targets? And remember also, you have a Nelson Aguilar who was a running back in college, converted to tight end and wide receiver. He took
yeah,
a
I'm
long
really
time
watching
to blossom.
Him. But you want to hear what I am also really going to watch? If the Eagles can, the third down conversions and how tired their defense gets. If their defense has to be out there longer.
Yeah, they have to get off the field.
They, you know, if that is my own, because I think they have a great defense. But, you know, I think you were right when you said if they have to be off the field more, I think that they're going to be sharper. And if they're on the field longer, can they hold up? You know, I think that's at least it won't be.
Well, if you have your offense on the field a long time, 36, 38 minutes, then that defense is going to be extremely difficult for New England to penetrate.
But let's assume that they don't. Can, if New England's out there for 35
Dinkin
minutes.
Dinkin' and Duncan, nickel and diming, I think, yeah. That is a rest. Brady will carve him up like he does everybody. You got to remember something. The Patriots beat up a Jacksonville team that was the number one defense in the league.
Right.
With a lead. Yeah, and they still came back.
A
fairly good two-score lead. I mean, you know, you look at that. Now, I think the Eagle defense is comparable to the Jacksonville defense. And I think that the way that they attacked that, again, was a little more on the outside. There were the biggest problem I had with it was how smart they are at drawing interference calls. They're throwing deep. They're throwing deep, not necessarily to complete it, but to try to get the call. And they're coached up to play for that. They seem to draw these pass interference calls. Remember, the Eagles defense lived on that front four and the pressure that saved the corners from embarrassment, because those corners definitely can be exploited. I think Brady's licking his chops. And the question is, does he get the time to do it? You're right, Bill. If you get Cox unleashed and they're coming up the middle and they get pressure, he may not have time to throw it to the outside. But if he does, that's going to be a major problem for
the
Eagles.
And the interesting thing,
too. Well, that's what you had with that last game, that you had to feel so sorry about, you know, how that last play – I mean, you know, whoever thought that,
You're talking about the Minnesota game, the miracle?
Yeah.
But remember something very important here. As John correctly points out, New England is great at drawing that favorable pass interference call and getting what I call a free 15 or 20 yards.
If not more.
And the Eagles have to show a tremendous amount of self-discipline and self-control in their defensive secondary to avoid being put in those situations, because otherwise they will lose their concentration, they'll lose their focus, they'll just be angry.
And then you'll have a situation like Diggs winning the game because, you know, there was a concern on the other side not to draw an interference call.
Right.
My fear is that we're going to see a relatively close game. The Eagles will be leading going into the last 2 minutes. The Pats will have the ball. There'll be a pass interference in the end zone. The ball will be on the one, and that's the way the Patriots win the game.
That's been their recipe.
Yes.
Yeah, and I could easily see that happening. I mean, if you want a prediction, what I'm hoping for is Eagles 27 and the Patriots 24. But again, it's anybody's.
Could it be a high-scoring game, do you think?
I don't think so, Pat. I think the Philadelphia defense is going to dictate for the most part. I think the Patriots will struggle to score 24 points. I think the question is, can the Philadelphia offense put up more than 24? I think if Philadelphia scores more than 24 points, they win this game. And the question is, can they do it? Can Foles get them there? Or will Belichick's defense confuse him enough and come up with some good plays? And again, we're forgetting, what is the most important thing in the National Football League? Turnovers. And this game is so close.
Well,
it's a 3-4-point game. One turnover could change the direction of this game.
Well, you see, I also think third down conversions are
well, there's no question, because Philadelphia needs to stay on the field.
Yeah.
So if they're third and short and they can run the ball, which they should be able to do, I mean, I think they will run for 100, 120 yards. If they can do that and they can convert, let's say, you know, 9 out of 15 third downs, then they're going to keep the ball 36, 38 minutes and they have a shot.
Well, if the Eagles can keep the ball for that long, they're going to score an awful lot of points. Remember also that we haven't talked about one thing. Jake Elliott seems to be able to make the 50
Jake Elliott. I just love that.
Yes, you
Isn't
do.
Isn't that great? And he's not your grandson,
well,
but it's his namesake.
My grandson is named Jake Elliott.
You know, I'm sure Jake goes into all the bars and says to the women, "Hey, how you doing? I'm Jake Elliott." You go in the bars in Philly and you'll be in good shape with that.
We were watching that last game with him. And, of course, when Jake Elliott made that, 50, was it 52?
56-yarder.
56.
Yeah.
We're all sitting there going, yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it is funny that...
I mean, it must have been fun for you to watch the Vikings get such a beating.
Oh, it was. It made my day. Yeah. My week. You know how we usually are really down when the Packers lose? Well, you know, we were really up when the... now, of course, you know... Dave is not an Eagles fan, so now this week he's really rooting for the Eagles. And, of course, when they played Minnesota, he was. But the game before that, probably for the one of the first times in our marriage, we were on either side of the game. And it was very interesting because, you know, I'm glad that football is not something we usually fight about. I mean, we all have enough things to fight about in our marriage, but usually we're right together on any football game.
You know, the interesting thing is going to be if the Eagles win, what will be left of the city of Philadelphia on Monday morning?
Oh.
And Pat,
you know, if they lose?
I'd be more concerned about the loss than the win.
Because
the animals will be out of the zoo. But, Pat, as a matrimonial attorney, as you are, I find it interesting, and Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've got a situation where Pat was heard to say that, you know, how football affects the marriage. The question I have, Pat, is there a cause of action in the New Jersey family part of the Superior Court for divorce because my spouse roots for the wrong football team? Is there a cause of action for that?
That's actually affliction of
emotional stress. Wait
a minute. Is that cruel and unusual? Is that, or is there a no-fault?
In Wisconsin, you would find the family not showing up for the wedding.
Right.
If the other family.
Not too many weddings are scheduled for Sundays in fall.
But not only that, if. You know, I don't know what would have happened in my family if I had brought home someone who rooted for any other team but the Packers.
Really?
Oh, please. I mean, you wouldn't dare. There's some cute commercials on about, you know, families who have there's one that's just great where this young woman says to her either husband or fiance, you can't go to my family with that shirt on.
Yeah, the Kansas City. He's an Oakland fan.
Yeah,
and they're all Chiefs fans.
He's a Raider fan.
Right. I mean, that's a great commercial. But as I said, a wedding, nothing on a Sunday. I mean, you can't even, the story.
You heard the saying that Lombardi said, you know, used to be the church owned Sundays. Now we do.
Yes. But also, you heard the story where the guy who always went to the football game, 50-yard line, always went to the football game with his wife, and somebody was up in the blue, and he had a 50-yard great seat. Somebody saw that one Sunday that it was seat next to him was empty. And the guy said to his friend, look, I got to go down and find out what it's been empty the whole first half. I'm going to go down and find out what the problem is because I can't believe that he's sitting there with that empty seat. So he went down and he talks to the guy and he said, hey, I can't believe that you don't have somebody sitting next to you. And he said, well, my wife and I have been coming to the games for 40 years together. And the guy said, well, if she couldn't come this time, why didn't you bring a friend?
They're all at the funeral?
They're all at the funeral.
See, as a probate lawyer, I knew that. I knew that punchline was coming. And by the way, speaking of family, I'd be remiss if I didn't throw out my son-in-law, Ryan Antonelli. Today it was announced that he's been made a senior regional property manager of his company, which is a tremendous accomplishment. And all I want to say is, Ryan, not bad for a Mets fan. You know, what can I tell you?
Well, wait a minute. But what's his team for tomorrow?
Well, Ryan, like me, is a Giants fan. You know, we don't talk baseball much, but football, he's a Giants fan. Tomorrow, it's a good question. I'm not sure. I think he despises both teams.
He
wants them both to lose.
Yeah. Well, is it possible to end in a tie when neither of them get the Lombardi Trophy?
Well, what's really going to be interesting in my daughter's house, because, of course, Tommy and Megan are huge Eagles fans. And her other son, Dylan, is a Cowboys fan and will not root for the Eagles. I mean, you know, we can't believe it, but he's not rooting for the Eagles. And
so